This is exactly right.
Forgive me for interrupting. I'm Bridger Weiniger, host of I Said No Gifts on Exactly Right. Each week, I invite my favorite people in comedy over to chat, and they always bring a gift. We're coming up on our 200th episode, and every episode is a gem. I have welcomed all kinds of great guests, including Cola Scola, Bowen Yang, Robbie Hoffman. It goes on and on and on. And you don't want to miss the 200th episode with the great Maria Bamford. What does she bring me? Find out April 25th. New episodes every Thursday. Follow I Said No Gifts wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Barbara Gray, and please look for my show, Replacing at Midnight, where I say puns to my cat alone on my bed while being surrounded by Taco Bell wrappers. Hashtag points. Okay.
Great pitch.
Thank you.
Sold.
I'm Brandy Posey, and it sucks the women in Rough Night and Girls Trip can't just all be friends and chill.
Mm-hmm. I'm Tess Barker, and the smell of sunscreen makes me horny.
Does it make you horny, baby?
Baby.
That face you just made, I don't know.
You don't like my horny face, baby.
Oh, God. All right. This is Lady to Lady.
Can you keep a secret?
Neither can we.
We got Barbara, Brandy, and of course, Big Tess. We got a show for everyone that's the fucking best. Come on, baby. It's time to hang out with your favorite ladies. Ladies and ladies, ladies and ladies.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome to the show. We're Lady to Lady.
Hey, I'm Brandy.
I'm Barbara.
I'm Tess.
And this is our show. What do we got coming up here?
Real quick, this weekend, Friday in Los Angeles at the Perky Nerd in Burbank. It's an awesome comic book shop run by ladies. I have Harlequin Comedy. It's me, Riley Silverman, Joe Starr, and a great lineup every single time. Cold brew, ice cream. Come hang out with us.
Mm.
It's real fun.
Yeah, it's a fun little place, area to hang out. Get to the area early.
It's super shopping. Cute. There's all these like pinup stores around there. Mm-hmm. There's a couple of really like nice antiquing area.
Antiquing.
Yeah, it's really, really fun.
I'll never forget. I took a quiz in 17 magazine once.
Yes.
And they had to describe your ideal date. Uh-huh. I remember I was at the pool with my friend Shannon, and one of the options was going antiquing. And I picked that one, and I felt like a fraud then, and I still feel like a fraud for saying it.
That was not the right answer.
I don't antique.
Not for you.
Especially not when I was 17. I was probably 13.
I would love it.
I like that antiquing at 17 would be something that like a 25-year-old would buy. Like an IKEA dresser. That's antiquing.
Well, it's funny because when I was a kid, I thought antiquing was just like buying an old sewing machine. Well, no, but it's like antiquing is like anything. You go to any of
those. You buy something old and then you like redo it.
Well, not even that. Like, that's refurbishing.
But we don't know how to antique, Beb.
Antiquing is just going to, like, those old shops and just, like, rooting through a bunch of old shit.
Right.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I do like rooting through shit.
I love that. It's like Goodwill thrifting, but with
dead people stuff.
Yeah.
See, I don't like that. Too many vibes.
I love it. Mm-mm. I love it. I like that as a date, too, because then you can, like, find stuff and riff off of it.
Oh, you can put on weird hats. That's
I was
dates.
Channeling that I was going to meet you, and that really is your ideal date.
Yes, it's my date.
Yeah.
It's definitely mine.
Yeah.
I will say I'll be doing my diary at UCB Sunset on August 19th, so you guys know there's some gems in there. You did it, right? You're about to do
it. Yeah. I'm doing it the week before this. Yes, I should have planned it. Oops.
It's fine. I just saw it on here randomly. I was like, I'll pick one, and I'm going to be at the Odd Block Comedy Fest at the end of August, so I don't know. Look at Twitter for that.
Hell yeah.
Let's bring on our guest. Yes. She's one of the hosts of the Bechdel cast, and she's so funny. Jamie Loftus.
Hi.
Hello.
Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Thank you for being us.
Happy to be you. Happy to be you. Just for a day.
Are you could be heroes.
Are you an antiquer?
I think I've told that same lie.
Right?
I'm pretty sure I've lied about, like, that's something I would do. I believe it's something I would do. I just haven't done it yet.
So that means we won't do it, because if we haven't done it yet, we wouldn't do it.
Right.
It's not like there's a lack of antiques for us to antique with.
I'm going to wake up one day and be right. I've been getting really into yard sales.
It's a DIY antiquing. You're just not taking it to the store. You're cutting out the middleman.
I've been getting really into, there's been a lot of yard sales in my neighborhood, and I'll wake up.
Really?
Get coffee, get cash, hit them up.
I love doing that.
Have you got, what's been a good find?
There's been a lot of good, a lot of layers, a lot of good like denim over shirts I've been acquiring.
Okay. Oh, that's nice.
Some fabric for whatever. I got the original record for Xanadu. All sorts of gems.
Good.
Yeah,
that's pretty great.
Worth the walk.
That's good. But do you find yourself? I have too much. I have way too much shit. So I definitely find myself accumulating extra stuff that I'm like, I didn't know I need this, but now I need it. And then 2 years from then, I'll be like, why the fuck did I?
Got a pretty discerning eye for like specific stuff.
Ugh,
like
I don't.
Yeah.
The Xanadu thing I definitely could have done without.
No, see, to me, that was your best buy.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I've used everything else I've purchased, but not Xanadu. But it's like, I just, it feels like a good thing to have.
It's fun. And you can frame it. That sounds like a piece of put up in the kitchen.
True.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It just, it feels good. I feel better because I have it.
Also, it's also incredibly cheap that it's like,
yeah.
Yes.
Why not? I also like there's something about like giving a new life to something that like, for some reason, I really like that of just like, oh, I will be the next part of this salt shaker's journey or whatever.
I like, and I used to live like, I don't know, my family would have a ton of yard sales because we had a bunch of garbage and we're poor, so we'd have yard sales all the time. And it was like so much fun to, I don't know, it was like that little entrepreneurial baby spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, I can sell my notebook full of, you know.
Definitely. And you'd always price it way too high. And people are like, I'm not paying $15 for this
notebook
you've drawn in half of.
Wait, you guys tried to sell your used notebooks?
I didn't try to sell that, but like, but when you're a kid, you don't know what the fuck. You know, you don't know what things are worth.
I don't think my parents gave me like authority. I think it was like we're selling these toys of yours. I didn't have a say. You guys had a say?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah. No say here.
I think like, that I was actively like because I remember trying to sell like drawings I had done at the yard sale, and then I think my dad would give like a neighbor a dollar, and then the neighbor would offer me the dollar, and it would just go back into the family till.
Oh man,
and got a boost.
That's so cute. But see, then he taught you to be confident in your art,
right? Yeah. Right. I mean, so that it worked out,
and look where you are now.
Yeah.
So.
Hell yeah!
Exactly. If he hadn't given Brendan from next door that single dollar.
I do always try to like. I'm a sucker. Whenever I see a lemonade stand, I do. I try to patronize whenever possible.
We would have grifted you so hard when we were kids. We had these. Did you ever see them? They were like called. They're called Pipeworks, and they were like a life-size erector set, kind of.
I remember those.
Yeah, and like we had like a ton of them, so we could make anything. Yeah. Like we would make like cars. We could drive around with them and stuff, and push each other. And we made like this. We knew how to like put together this like crazy lemonade stand with the roof and like different like
parts.
Me and my brother would like build it, and we would just like wheel it out onto the driveway on the weekends and be like, all right. Let's do this. Then we would sell lemonade. We would sell like shit that we didn't want anymore. Yeah.
Oh, you're also selling shit you didn't want.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Nice. Me and my best friend, we were obsessed with selling things.
It's a bodega.
Sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. I was for sure.
You're
just
the original
up,
bodega.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, me and my best friend, we love selling things, but we were not as high rent at all. We sold things that we would clear off my family's shoe rack.
Oh, really?
And we used that, and then we taped a sign on. But we like did lemonade once. One time we sold oatmeal cookies that were made out of instant oatmeal.
Yeah.
And this guy was nice enough to pull over, and my best friend yelled, "Quick, get the money before he eats it." And then we both just started cackling and ran into the house.
Oh my God.
I've made cookies with instant oatmeal, and they weren't that bad.
Oh, really?
No. Yeah.
These were not good.
It was flavored, like ginger oatmeal.
These were, I remember, strawberry. They look, honestly, like puke. Like dried puke.
Well, you also tried selling slime.
Slime. Yeah. We made homemade slime. I mean, I don't know why. We were trying to be so outside the box. We were like,
you're
the,
out of your time.
That's good. Yeah, you gotta see what sticks for
yeah.
time. I've stopped paying children for
I kind of have to. I'm kind of
for
like
services.
I got tricked one too many times.
What do you mean tricked?
I got tricked. I got stuck with a turtle one time, and that was like on me for. But those kids really did take me, and they were very smart, and I was very stupid. But like I was in college in Boston, and I was. Yeah, I was like a full grown. There was no excuse for me to be grifted by these kids. But they were on the side of the road. They had several small turtles. Mm-hmm. And they're like, hey, do you want a pet? And at the time, I really did.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah. And they're like, we're selling these turtles for $5. And I was like, that seems pretty reasonable.
Where'd they get
like they had multiple turtles?
They had multiple turtles. Not clear where the turtles had come from. I think like a Chinese grocery store nearby. That's what I later sort of figured out, that they had purchased and they were selling it at a very high premium. Hmm. But they were like $5. And
that seems like a good deal. See, that's, you're right. I would fall for the grift.
$5. I got felt, $5 for
and
a
then
turtle.
And then I just had a turtle. And turtles, they take a long time to die.
Yeah, they live for a very long time.
It's still alive. I pawned it off to my brother and he still has it.
But why do you think you got grifted? I mean, like, you seem like somebody who would like, you wanted a turtle.
Seems like a
win-win. Because I saw their dad sort of like lurking around in the background. And I think he realized, like,
he was using the kids.
I think he was using the kids to sell some turtles at a premium.
Oh.
Yeah.
Man.
It was dark.
What was the turtle's name?
Football team.
Perfection.
To this day.
Come on, so do you see football team when your brother?
I still see football team. Football team is thriving. It's impossible to say because we don't know what kind of turtle it is. So it could be. I mean, turtles can live for a really long time. Football team may outlive us all.
Yeah.
I hope so.
You have a hamster now.
I have a hamster. That was another impulse pet buy, but not from the pros, not from kids.
You got it from pet store?
I got it from Petco, yeah.
Mm. What made you see you were in Petco for something else? Or
This is going to make me have a very bad pet track record, but I was trying to acquire a cat.
Uh-huh.
And it did not work out because the person I was trying to acquire a cat from turned out to be just a very weird person I didn't want to interact with anymore. Mm. I was like a friend of a friend who I ended up being like, oh, maybe you shouldn't have this friend anymore. They seem unwell. So I was bummed because I really wanted the cat thing to work out. And so I woke up the next day and I was like, man, I was really thinking I was going to have a pet by today.
Yeah.
And then I just like got kind of pissed off and I drove to Petco and I bought a hamster.
Oh, that all tracks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now I have a hamster, and the hamster's fine. I like the hamster.
A hamster's always name? Fine.
No name for the hamster.
Just the hamster.
Do you have
a pet name for him? What do you call him?
I did something. I'll call it my friend.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you find that is it a rewarding relationship?
It's a little, it's hard because it's hard to get affection from a hamster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like that I give a lot and don't receive a lot back.
Yeah.
But so next time, I mean, I should have just gotten a cuddling pet because that's why I wanted it.
Yeah.
Because I just wanted something to love me.
Yeah.
With a hamster, you're mostly just cleaning up shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the thing is, we're all going to be cleaning up their shit, so you should get some cuddles.
Right. Oh, you got to get it. It has to be reciprocal.
What's
you should clean up
me?
Your emotional shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. Hamster is nocturnal, so we don't even see that much of each other.
Like ships in the night.
Yeah, it's like ships in the night. Conflicting schedules.
Yeah, we work opposite shifts, and it's hard. So, like, we get along.
I had a rabbit that I bought one time when I was coming down off ecstasy. Similar situation where I was, like, there was a baby rabbit outside of the store. I think I was still rolling a little bit. And I was like, well, I have to take you home. And I named it Mojo. And then, like, within 2 hours, I was like, this was a huge mistake. Because rabbits...
How long did you have it?
The rabbits are assholes.
The rabbits are assholes and they're strong.
Yeah,
they're not...
They're legs.
They will hurt you.
Oh, yeah.
So I had all that. It cut me up. It never wanted to be held. It physically hurt me. And it changed my relationship with my family's cat. My family's cat never forgave me for bringing that rabbit into the house.
What did you do with it?
My mom's best friend lives on a bunch of farm up in Lake Mayosemite. So she took her. She actually had a rabbit hutch. And she went up there and lived out her life.
Good.
In the rabbit hutch. So it had a happy ending.
That's nice.
I didn't realize how huge rabbits can get. Yeah, have you ever seen someone that has like a massive rabbit?
Oh, there's like, yeah.
I forget. If,
the Norwegian
it must be
ones or something.
Something like that.
Lapalooza or something?
My cousins had a rabbit that was so huge that it was like, what do we do with it? Like, I didn't play with it because I was afraid of it.
Yeah, they are. They're
like
scary.
A dog-sized rabbit.
Oh, God.
It was really scary.
The Flemish giant rabbits.
Yes.
Flemish.
They're the Flemish. They're the size of collies.
They're
is there a picture?
Massive. Yeah.
I remember seeing a picture.
Oh, shit.
Oh, it's okay. It's not open.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, look at these things.
That's beautiful.
It's a big ass rabbit.
Oh, my God. I love like different. I really like when different breeds of animals are friends with each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's always a beautiful photo shoot.
Exactly.
Oh, sorry, we didn't close the door because it's hot, so you might hear some
garbage.
Trash
day.
Garbage noise.
And trash, I'm not just saying that because we're in the glam cave.
We're trash.
So, Baz, before we started recording, you were talking about a life decision that you were contemplating.
Yeah. I don't know. I was just thinking I might be polyamorous. Well, I've always talked about how, like, I probably want to be in an open thing,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah,
eventually.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I think I'm only doing that right now because I'm basically like dating a few guys and I don't really like, I'm just kind of casually doing it.
Yeah.
I'm not really having sex with, I'm only having sex with one of them.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if I'd feel different if I was having sex with more than one. Cause I don't really, that just feels weird. Honestly, yeah. feels weird cause I don't want to get pregnant.
Yeah.
That's yeah. mostly why it feels yeah. weird.
It's just increasing the odds.
Yeah. I just right. don't want to be freaked out about that.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, for sure.
But I don't know. I just feel like, I found this old diary entry about my first boyfriend that I had sex with like when I was 21, and it was just like, I love him, I really love him, but I like still like other people, and just like this thing, and I was like, oh, this might just be me.
Who you
this
are.
This might just be who right. I am, and like, right. that's okay, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just kind of toying around with it, and then I met this guy who is... that's first thing he told me is that he's like polyamorous and stuff, yeah. and I don't know what we're doing, I don't know if we're dating or just like, yeah, I'm not sure, mm-hmm. but I was just kind of like... I don't know. I don't really... I feel like it's okay to be open. Yeah. I feel like, obviously, if I found somebody who I was, like, head over heels for, that would be different, and I don't know what that would be like, because it's yeah. been a while, mm-hmm. so...
I think that'll we'll be the test. Happens.
That
if
will
you,
be the test.
If you yeah. still want to do it when you're mm-hmm. with someone that you're, like, head over heels with,
right.
then yeah. you'll know it's not just, like, restlessness.
Yeah, and that hasn't happened for a long time. So it's, like, that will be the test. But as far as right now, I'm kind of just... Like, I went out on a few dates with this guy, and I had fun with him, but I felt guilty because I... You know, I'm kind of dating a few people, and I just texted him, and I was like, hey, I need to tell you, like, I think I'm polyamorous, or I'm trying to figure it out, and I want to let you know, because if you're not comfortable with this, mm-hmm. then, you know, then I understand that, and whatever.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, no, I'm looking for more of just, like, a whatever.
More casual thing.
Whatever. Anyway. No, he was looking for, like,
monogamy.
A girlfriend.
Oh,
monogamy.
Okay, got it.
Okay.
Got it.
And I was like, also, great way to get out of something, but I was like, oh.
Yeah. That's like, a good Babs hack.
I was like, this is a Babs hack for sure. Like, I was like, now I don't have to worry. I was like, oh, I don't have to be like, hey, sorry, I don't think I'm whatever the fuck, you mm-hmm. know, other thing.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so it was like very easy. I mean, and if he had said yes, I would have kept hanging out with him because yeah. I was interested to get to keep knowing him, but I just wanted him to know that, you know.
Yeah.
And I felt bad not saying at the beginning, but I was in the middle of figuring it out, too. And mm-hmm. I still am.
Well, and it is okay. that thing, I'm sure, of, like, when do you tell someone you're polyamorous? Because there's really no good time to
well,
hear it.
Well, if yeah. you meet on Tinder, which we did, I feel like it's something you should put in your thing.
Right.
But mm-hmm. also, you could be opening yourself up to more douchebags that way.
For sure.
Yes. So, that's a problem.
Yeah. You know? Well, and if you're still figuring it out, too, it's like, yeah, you know, you don't want to like... throw a label on something and you're not sure. It could just be, like, right now, right. you haven't found one that's
right
clicked, and you want to be like Dan Savage always says monogamish, where like that's like what him and his husband are, or like, hey, we're primary, and then like we can also do other stuff if the need, you know, if we feel like it,
right,
you know. So it's like
I'm pretty sure yeah. that's kind of what I want in the end, mm-hmm. but I don't have like a main person, so I'm
yeah.
I just want to be free to like date and not feel like weird about it.
Yeah,
yeah,
basically.
For sure.
It seems like you handled it the right way, especially because
so.
You're still figuring it out yourself, like
yeah,
it's not like you were withholding anything,
right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's funny too because I this logic probably doesn't make sense, so please feel free to tell me it's stupid. Yeah. But this so the one guy that you guys know that I've been hooking up with is so hot.
Yeah,
and like I think he's hotter than I think he's like, you know, an like upper tier from me.
Yeah,
and like. But I realized that I really wasn't that worried about it because he is, like, polyamorous. And to me, I'm like, I don't have to be the hottest girl that he's fucking because he could go out and fuck a hotter girl and, like,
yeah.
he could get that from someone. But we're having fun and we're having a good time. And it's like, I don't have to be the only person in his life.
You don't have the fear of being replaced.
Right. Because it's like the, everyone, yeah. it's right. open. It's not like this, like, fear that I'm like, oh, God, I'm not perfect enough or whatever the fuck, you
right.
know, which I think I get wrapped up in. So, it's been, like, relieving.
Yeah.
I could see that.
You know? So, it's a weird. I was like, I don't know if that works or not, because it's all new. Like, hanging out with him is new. Everything is new.
Yeah.
But,
take certain pressures off, for sure.
Probably. Yeah, yeah. So, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
We'll see.
Do you feel like you are, like, approaching it from, like, a different way emotionally that you would otherwise when you're trying to get to date somebody? Like, are you, like... emotionally investing in one person, you're kind of just like, oh, all right, I'll see, you know.
I'm basically just kind of seeing what happens. I feel more relaxed than I have in a long time okay. about all of it. Mm-hmm. I feel more confident in myself.
Uh-huh.
And that's huge, you know.
Yeah,
so I just don't feel this like anxiety about being with somebody for the first time in a long time, and it's because I'm like talking to a lot of guys, and
I
need that because I just know that I need that. It's just me. I'm like, I'm used to that interaction. I really like it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't feel this weird. I just don't feel like lonely, or I don't feel anything. And I don't know. I just feel like relaxed about the whole thing. So it's it feels. I definitely am not going to it being like, oh, I want to like find someone to like fall in love with, which I do want eventually. Mm-hmm. But that feels like the pressure is off as far as like feeling lonely or like whatever. I don't know.
Gotcha.
Right.
So we'll see.
Well, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Do you feel like you're also like you like have space for yourself too? You're not just like,
oh yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Okay.
I mean, completely. I think the things that would scare me about polyamory are, well, I am too jealous. There's no way I could. But also, the time seems like a lot.
Yeah,
like everyone knows it's polyamorous. I'm like, how do you? I don't know how you go on dates with one person.
Right. Yeah. For me, it's not that bad because like I don't know. I feel like I'm still getting all of my shit done. I don't feel like I'm using as a distraction, which I think I kind of was before when I was like getting really obsessive.
With like one person.
Yeah, but like right now I'm like, oh, I could like hang out with this guy tonight maybe. And it's just not as like.
Yeah, I could almost see it as like a time saver if we're, because it's almost, I don't know, like when I'm very into one person, regardless of whether we're dating or not, like
it's like
takes
obsessive.
Up a lot of my time. Yeah,
it does. Yeah,
and it usually like takes up a lot of my time in a way that does not feel very good. Like I'm just like worrying about what, you know, whatever, A through Z. So I could see that being a helpful, like, I don't know, just
I'm just dipping not, your pool, I'm not that
dipping
worried
your toe
about
in
it.
A lot of pools.
Yeah, like I'm super busy this week. I have a ton of shit that I'm getting done that I want to get done, and I know I'm gonna do all that, and I don't feel like I'm like, I don't need to hang out with anybody, but I have the option if I want it, you know. So I feel like it's fine. We'll see.
We'll keep us posted.
It's going to be interesting. I don't know.
Maps is fabulous.
I mean, it'll probably crash and burn in some way, but, you know.
Yeah, most of these open relationships do, but.
Yeah, for sure.
But that's fine, because they always do anyway. They always do anyway. So
but every relationship does.
Yeah. Exactly. Every relationship does, and then you're just increasing the odds because you're getting multiple relationships in one.
Yeah, right.
So but then I don't know. Would I prefer, like, three or four tiny hurts than one big one? Probably. I think.
Maybe.
Or four fizzle outs versus one hurt.
Yeah. Because the fizzle outs have kind of been what's happening with some of them. And I'm like, all right.
I love a good fizzle out.
Yeah. Fizzle out is what we're going for. Yeah. Let's just gracefully fizzle out.
I will find someone I'm really into, and then that's, you know, when it'll, like you said, the test, and then it won't be a fizzle out or whatever the fuck. But I just feel like it's okay.
Just
for
take
now.
Away the guilt.
Like, that's really what it is. I was like, I need to stop shaming myself for like feeling this way and just like be okay with the fact that I am interested in talking to multiple people and it's not the end of the world, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Exactly. Agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
We'll see.
All right, guys.
Famous last words.
BRB.
We'll be right back.
Before we started.
Okay. We're back on Lady to Lady. I'm Brandy.
I'm Barbara.
I'm Tess.
And we're here with Jamie Loftus.
Hi.
So, Jamie, tell us, you're eating Infinite Jest.
Yes.
Tell us what's happening.
Yes, explain this.
Fair. So I've been doing it for March or April 2016. I've been doing it for like a long time, and it was weird. Like last month, people were sort of like, hey, wait a second, what's that? And I was like, oh.
So it started like getting traction?
Yeah.
So how'd you get the idea?
I got the idea because when I first moved here, I worked at Book Soup on Sunset.
I love Book Soup. Great. You're so lucky worked there.
It was so much fun. Like, I loved working there.
In West Hollywood, right?
Yeah. Nice. And it was like the first job I ever had. It was like a really nice first job to have here. But it was like, it's like a popular bookstore. So it would be like a lot of people's like first stop. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of people buying copies of Infinite Jest. Lots of people buying How to Win Friends and Influence People. Lots of copies of the Bible.
How much you could tell from people from obviously what they're.
There is some like standard. There was like, I mean, I've worked in bookstores for years, and just like there's a lot of like standard, like almost like those starter pack memes of like a certain kind of people. Like, so, and like the Infinite Jest person is like my least favorite kind of person. I've never read the book. I only sort of know what it's actually about, yeah. but I have like uniformly disliked every person who's ever insisted that I read it.
Yeah.
It just is always a very specific kind of like chode kind of person.
it's a chode book.
A little Ivy, you know, guy who went to a little Ivy at a party who's like, hey, if you were like, and anyways, I went on a date with a guy last week who was like, you've got to read Moby Dick. People are going to, and I was just like, this is the same
you've
thing for me.
To?
I've here's the thing. I've
it's
got
2017.
To. No. How have I not read Moby Dick?
And also, I don't got to.
I don't
do anything.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah. Like, think of a better
By the way,
topic.
I read, coincidentally, Moby Dick this year. I have no one to talk about it with. So, no
there,
one. I can give you my talking point.
It was a hard fizzle out for me. I'll give you his number. but, so, with the Infinite Jest thing, that was just sort of what the idea was. I was like, I'm going to buy a copy of Infinite Jest. And I already did, like, I already did a bit where I would eat dog food. So I was like, okay, I'll just sub out a book.
Right.
So I started doing it that way.
So are you like cutting it with a knife and fork?
You're
like pulling
it
out a page? I haven't seen it. So.
Yeah. Like there's some, I'll do a bit on stage where it's just tearing a page out and, you know, letting it turn into food. And then,
wait, no, that's where I'm going to stop you. It's still paper, right?
It's still paper. Yeah.
So you're swallowing. How often do you swallow
paper?
How
are your shits coming out?
Yeah. Do you have paper shits?
I have, well, I already had steel enforced shits from all the dog food I was eating. So I felt like books would be okay.
Yeah.
So before I started, like when I, at first I just did it as a joke and then I was like, okay, I think I'm going to stick with this. So I called Poison Control and like,
oh my God.
They're super helpful.
They,
and like
Poison Control
me,
is really helpful.
They've helped me develop more than one bit, and they're like very nice. Of like, you know, like you call them and you're like, "Hi, I'm like." First, you make it sound like it was an accident to get their attention. You're like, "I ate 5 pages of a book today. Is that okay?" And they'll say, "No, stop." And then you say, "Well, I'm gonna keep doing it. So, can you help me?" And once they figure out, they're like, "Oh, you're not gonna stop." Then there was someone on the phone who like helped me research the edition I'd purchased and how much acid was in the pages. And
oh
like,
my God.
They were so helpful. Like, highly recommend developing a bit with Poison Control.
I'm amazed we've never had to call them actually for one of our shows.
Yeah.
Right.
Surprising. That's a good point.
Because I had to call them before about like dog food and stuff too, of like what is okay and what isn't, and so they with the book they were like, okay, so you can do it, but like don't eat more than one page a day, or you're like putting yourself at risk. So 1 page a day limit.
So a risk for like the acid that's in it.
It would just like it could fuck with your digestive system long term. But
you,
there's
like do it every
wood
day
inside of you, basically.
Yeah, and there's like whatever, like the acid. Slight gloss on every page.
Do you do this every day?
I did for a long time. I'm not doing it every day anymore. It's going to take
for like for you know for a show or for right
okay.
right yeah, right.
So it's going to take video. You 20 years.
It's going to take
yeah,
the rest.
How many pages
of my
are you
life.
In?
I was doing it every day for until early this year, and then I started doing a different Poison Control thing that I was like, I can't do both at once or I'll get sick.
Oh, what else are you
so
doing?
Did the milk
I was
thing?
The milk, yeah, yeah, I was the drinking milk? The gallon of milk, and that is like actually really bad.
We've
fat.
Talked about
I've
the gallon
it.
Of milk challenge. You
yeah.
did it?
Yeah. It's, I mean, it's awful.
Yeah, it's awful. I did it for revenge once. And that's,
really?
Yeah, it's the only time I'll ever do it.
Worthwhile.
Yeah, I puked all over the guy's bathroom because he was a piece of shit to my friend.
Yeah. Oh, that's amazing.
I've told that story on here, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
good. Just
so wait, so the gallon of milk, you did it once? Did you keep it down?
I've done it 4 times. And I have kept it down 2 times.
Any tips? Usually,
wow, that's impressive.
It's but
are
I
you
like
1% to skim.
Skim.
You
I
gotta
think
it's got to be skim.
It's got to be skim.
God, yeah.
The times I did 1% once, and then one that I puked a little, and then there was one time I did it in Chicago, and someone brought me the milk, and they weren't, and they brought me 2%, and I got
fuck
really
no.
oh, that like knocked me on my ass for
a
couple of days.
For a couple of days. Of
course. Well, yeah, because you throw up a little, but most of it's still there.
That much dairy.
Oh, my God.
Your body just can't process that much.
See, I love
the way your shit just changes.
Oh, my God. Like, permanently?
It's like, your body. No, like, you're just, your body chemistry, you just, I just felt like I was, I don't know, like you just felt like, yeah, like, it just, like, I was slowly becoming a brick, and then just,
oh, my God.
It's. Is not good. I can't recommend it. So I stopped doing the book around that time because it was just like there's too much going on.
You're only human.
250 pages is the answer.
That's where you're at
so far. You have left? Yeah.
Wow. No, 250 pages I've eaten, and there's 1,044 pages.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Like, wow.
I've been trying to find ways to sort of get rid of chunks in larger. Like, I made a lasagna not too long ago for something, and that, you know, you kill 12 pages that way. It's more efficient.
I saw that was a spread in, like, or there was a photo shoot?
Yeah. There was something that me and this really great writer named Mira Gonzalez did for Broadly, where we made outfits and made lasagna and made slime, too.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Nice. I learned how to make slime.
Yeah, more like Infinite Digest, right?
Love it.
I'm sure you say that every day.
I've never said it, but I feel like I get, like, they're like, have you considered calling it? And
yeah.
I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's funny.
Man. That's impressive.
I like it.
Yeah, follow, what's your Twitter handle?
Oh, at Hamburger Phone.
Oh, yeah, Hamburger Phone, yeah, to see her Infinite Jest updates. Yeah. I'm always.
What is the context that you drink the milk? Is it like a stage bit? Is it like you're just doing it for video or...
I did it first for this thing I did for Jesh that was like a concept show where I used to dance ballet for like 15 years, and so I did like a version of Swan Lake where I was like locked in a basement that was filling with gas, and the only way I could escape, and it was, I mean, it was a leap, but the only way I could escape was by chugging a gallon of milk. And then the last, like, whatever, I don't remember if a pint or a quart is bigger, whatever the smaller amount is, that would be butt chugged, and that was like the end.
Oh my God, you butt chug
it?
Yeah, I love butt chugging stuff.
You are, I love you. You're like absolutely insane. Whoa, you butt chugged milk?
It was like more like a butt enema, but yes. Where it's like a turkey baster, because it had to be like, I couldn't make too much of a mess, so I couldn't do a funnel. So you get a baster, you get several basters because you never know. And so then you fill it up with milk, and then I was wearing a leotard, and I could just sort of pull the leotard aside, just pop it in,
handstand,
and then you just have to have a friend to hold your feet and just...
Inserted it in once you were up?
I always insert it in to myself.
Yeah, you don't want somebody else doing that.
Right.
He just
he just released.
So what is the, like, end goal? What's the end goal of the butt chug?
Of the butt chug? The butt chug, it's just a good finish, I think.
Yeah.
I think it's just like how you stick the landing of chugging a gallon of milk, or as close as I've gotten. Maybe there's something worse.
Right.
But
no, I think that's...
Have those times made you puke? Has that put you over the edge? Or...
No, butt chugging doesn't bother me at all. I've never butt chugged like cough syrup or like something that actually affects you.
Right.
Like the stuff that fucks you. I've only ever done, I did it once with Infinite Jest.
You butt chugged Infinite Jest?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I blended it in with some juice and then did that. And then I did it with the milk later. So I already knew I could butt chug something and really not feel anything.
Wow.
Body has been through, you're testing yourself, like scientific limits of your body for comedy.
I try to be careful about it, and like there's, I don't, like my...
Did you call poison control or can I butt chug this book?
Yeah, have you talked to them about butt chugging?
Yeah, well, that was a separate call. But it was a
They must get so many butt calls.
It's got to be like a third butt probably,
most of it, right?
Well, because when you... butt chug something, it just goes straight to you. That's why people like butt chug beers and stuff.
Oh, is that the thing?
It
just like gets
it like immediately.
There's no filter.
Oh, okay.
So you can do like a tiny bit of alcohol and it'll get you drunk immediately.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Like,
okay.
Yeah, I think it's like has like whatever 4 times effectiveness of just drinking a beer through your face hole.
God. And it's always with a turkey baster. That's how you do it.
Some people do. I think most people do funnels or like
people do tampons. They'll dip in like vodka.
Yeah.
That's more of a pussy chug though.
Yeah. But you could put up your butt, I think, too.
Oh, yeah, you could.
Yeah,
you could put a tampon in your butt.
Sure.
Of course you can. I don't know what I'm thinking.
I mean, if it's Valentine's Day or something.
Yeah. It has to be an occasion. But it's good. It's like, I don't know. I try to recommend calling poison control to everyone who wants to try a new bit.
Yeah.
Just make sure.
Man, I wish we had a call-in feature available.
Yeah, I wish poison control on the line.
I wish I had like a guy there. Maybe someday I'll just have a go-to guy at poison control to be like, listen, There's your interview.
No, like, hey, is Jeremy working?
Yeah.
You have, like, your agent, your manager, and your poison control guy.
My poison control guy. You got to be careful.
I like it. Yeah. That's your rom-com. You just, like, you just fall in love, and then one day he comes, and he's like, oh, hey.
It's like you almost
die, and
it's
he comes.
It's like Night at the Roxbury. He falls in love with, like, the credit card.
Yes, exactly.
Exactly. Oh, like that. Oh, God. You ever seen that Bruce Willis movie with him and, what's her name from Weeds?
Mary Louise Parker?
Yeah.
They're in a movie like that where he's, like, a retired CIA guy and she's, like, the credit card person. And it's, like, it's really funny and super cute.
It's like the You've Got Mail of poison control budget.
Well, it's really funny because it's like they're coming to kill him because he knows something as ex-CIA guy. But they, like, find, like, her number on his phone. So figures out they're going to go after her. So it's, like, them on the run. And she's like, who the fuck are you? I thought you just called me because you were lonely. What? And it's a really fun movie.
It's like a sex. Oh, I love it. She's on a sex line?
No. Credit card. Loans or whatever. But he, like, calls and talks to her about books and stuff. And it's like he's a
and
very.
She's
lonely.
Like, and you're a bad boy.
Oh, God. It's a really good movie.
I love it.
Yeah.
I call poison control when I accidentally drink gasoline in high school.
How did you do that? she wants to know.
How much can you get away with?
I drank a decent amount. I'd run out of gas and I went down to the gas station and I, like, put some gas in one of those can things.
Oh, you were sucking it to get it in.
And I was, it's one of my blondest moments in my life, but I was putting it in my car and the gas wasn't going into the hole. So without, like, without writing the can, I bent over to see why it wasn't going in the hole. And because I was, like, inquisitive, my mouth was open and I just, like, I literally just accidentally put my mouth hole in gasoline's way.
Oh.
And I just took a whole mouthful of gas. And I was so in shock that I swallowed it. I was just like,
oh, no.
And that's terrifying.
Yeah.
That shit's bad for you.
I was burping. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Shit.
Yeah.
What'd they say?
Were you okay? I had to go on my stomach. They gave me Epic.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I was burping gas.
Ew.
Yeah. That's I've talked about the story on stage. And then I had to go. I couldn't drive my car to the hospital because I was out of gas.
Oh my God.
So I had to use my little sister's bicycle, which was too small for me. So I was, like, burping gasoline and riding the small bicycle to the emergency room.
That's an amazing story.
What would happen if you, like, smoked right then?
I mean only one way to find out.
Yeah.
Like, it would be like a fucking...
No, you're not allowed to. No.
Let's call Jeremy. Let's see what he thinks.
I feel like it'd be like a Looney Tunes cartoon where you just, like...
Yeah.
The first time I called...
And then your eyes light up with, like, a gas price.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The last time I called poison control, I was helping a friend research something else. And I was like, oh, this is my area. I can help. And because I was looking for, like, a thickener, a thickening agent. And I found out about this really cool new non-toxic thickening agent that a guy at poison control helped me find, that they use it in, like, lipstick and, like, lip gloss to make, like... I'll send you guys
it fuller.
If you ever need to make water look like goop.
Oh,
it's a great new trick.
Because it's like slime.
Yeah, it looks like slime, but you're just drinking goopy water. Yeah,
goopy water.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I feel like we will definitely need to know that someday.
Goopy water. The other day, I took a pot out of the, you know, in your kitchen, your pot. What is that called? Pot and pan or whatever. And I took it out. There was clearly oil in it. And I went up to Sean. I was like, "Yo, dude." I was like, "You can't be putting back pots and pans that have oils in them."
Yeah.
You know what he says to me?
Uh-oh.
Oh, that looks like dry water to me. He tried to get away with dry water.
That's honestly a good effort.
No. I almost had to give him like a pass. You know, yeah. Super
you
confident.
Know what? Dry water.
Dry water.
The
dry
delivery. Water. Yeah. Good line read.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's great.
Almost. Well, we'll do a few. We'll do a few.
Yeah.
We're doing a little segment here. One of those MySpace surveys. You remember those gems?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, copy paste. Fill in your darkest secrets.
Exactly.
Hope your crush reads it.
Yes. So this is the MySpace game. Hit it, David.
I've got a MySpace. It'll put a smile on your face. Now it's time for a MySpace quiz.
What does your screen name mean?
Oh, hamburger phone. Or your old one.
Yeah. Well, hamburger phone means that the coolest girl in my high school told me about the movie Juno and Twitter.com on the same day.
Oh.
And I wanted to impress her so bad that I got a Twitter account with a Juno reference in it. And it worked, and we went to a Bright Eyes concert together.
Wow.
That's
so funny.
And you hung on to it.
Take that, Connor Oberst.
I feel like it's too late now.
Yeah, it's too late.
So now it's forever. I made my dad drive me to that same Bright Eyes concert, and then pretend, because I was lying about having a car, to the cool girl, because I was a sophomore, so I couldn't drive.
Yeah.
But I was like, Dad, I need you to drive me to Providence. I need you to buy a ticket to the Bright Eyes concert, and I need you to pretend that we have never met. And he did, to his credit. Aww, he stood cool. in the what back and dad. Watched the whole Bright Eyes concert. Aww. And then met me three blocks away.
Aww, after dad. The show.
Yeah. That's
so funny.
That's great adorable. Dad.
Are you still friends with this girl?
We're like friendly. I think she like lives in Austin now. I don't know. She's still fucking cool. Not fair.
Austin, that's where they go.
I know. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Does she know what an impact she's had on your life?
I would be so embarrassed if she knew. And I would also be really embarrassed if she knew my dad was at that Bright Eyes concert.
Well, thank God you didn't just say it on the internet.
As far as I know, she never found out.
Are you and your dad still friends?
Me and my dad are tight, yeah.
My mom kind of did something similar to me. I wanted to get my driver's license on my 16th birthday, but I guess she couldn't take work off or take me wherever. So on my 16th birthday, she laid down in the back seat while I drove home so that it would look like I was driving by myself.
Oh, my God.
What a champion.
Because shit that we think makes us cool is so you know, it'd be cool being proud of your parents.
Right?
No. Tell me. Okay. Do you make wishes on shooting stars? Mm.
Honestly, if I happen to catch one, of course.
Why not?
Yeah.
Of course. I don't actively seek them out.
Yeah.
But hey, if I'm walking around the reservoir and there's a star shooting, why not?
Yeah.
It would be a waste not to.
It would be. I still do the 11-11 shit sometimes, and that's
I'll do a birthday wish.
That stuff never hurts.
Yeah. It never, what never hurt hurts. Does it do? It just reminds me of things I want that I don't have.
Exactly. Yeah.
Twice a day.
Exactly. I usually do it for like I'll wish for like something that I'm working towards, basically, that like I think is in my future.
That's
but I'm
good.
Like
a positive.
Like I'm like, oh, remind yourself, this is the goal you made. Like, you know.
Yeah. That's a smart way to
do it. And then never tell anyone else about it.
Yeah, exactly. That is a funny true. Thing about wishes that you just can't.
Yeah. Well, it's jinxing it, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. That's so funny.
I want to say it so bad.
All right. Have you ever bitten someone?
Oh.
You have to.
Yeah. You seem like you've bitten people.
I've bit people.
Do I have to
give an example?
No.
You don't have to.
I remember one time I got... This is maybe weird. My brother and I got into a bite fight, which we made up.
That sounds like a brother thing, though.
Yeah. It rhymes
for
it's
sure.
It's a bite fight.
Yeah, it's a bite fight.
And he bit me, and then I bit him back, and then I decided I was going to launch myself onto his face to neutralize the bite.
Oh, that's so funny.
And he lost two teeth. And that was how he lost his first teeth, as I just launched myself during the bite fight.
And then he couldn't bite back after that.
Yeah. But he got money, so joke's on me.
Yeah.
Tooth fairy.
Oh, yeah. God, the fucking tooth fairy.
Yeah, tooth fairy.
The great equalizer.
I love finding out what people's tooth fairy rates were down the line, because some people are like, I got $10.
That's
like,
insane.
What? I mean, mine was a quarter.
Mine, oh, really?
Yeah, or a dollar.
I got a dollar.
What was yours?
Come on, Camarillo. What do you got? All right, 805. What's the 805 tooth fairy got going on?
$5.
Oh, man.
$5.
It was actually Dwayne Johnson. It was like the actual tooth fairy.
And I didn't believe in the tooth fairy, so I would just ask my dad for $5.
I got a dollar and a very nice note written in a very curly handwriting that my mom had innovated.
Oh, so you got like consideration.
I got $5 in, you know, memories, but $1 in dollar.
Do our parents all just like have our teeth?
No. I was gonna say, I saw that my mom
you know that for
yeah,
a fact.
I saw that my mom threw my teeth away and she was like, well, what do you expect? I was like, exactly. My feelings were hurt. I was like, Mom, you didn't keep my teeth? And she was like, of course not.
Wait, did you like open
them? That's so creepy. Yeah. Why would you?
Yeah,
my parents gave them.
They did.
Well, I mean, you're, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, but
and you're going to eat them someday.
I'm probably consumed. But there, I use some
with
of
the
them.
With the Sound and the Fury.
Jeremy, can I eat my own teeth?
If they were mine at one point, can I still have them? I used some of them in like a science project once. So of like, yeah, like of like which soda will decay my teeth.
Oh, that's, right. That's cool.
That's a good one.
It was a fun project.
That's a good way to use it.
I don't think my parents still have my money. I guess I should check.
I haven't asked. I haven't asked my dad. Yeah.
There's no way they I would.
Maybe they do and they just forget.
It's like, yes, but they're right here.
Like, yeah,
sometimes parents have like weird locks of hair that's tucked true. Away. Of like,
from I think there's some shit like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've got some bronze baby shoes.
Yeah.
Those
I
are
I love
are
a good pair of bronze shoes.
Yeah. I know. I wish love I could just wear them.
Right.
Look cool.
Baby shoes are so fucking cute.
They're
so cute. I love baby shoes.
Tiny stuff, man.
The only time I ever want a kid is looking at a tiny van.
Yeah.
A little baby checkered van.
Yeah.
It's the only time. I just want that.
Because it's so miniature.
Yeah.
It's so small. I know.
Yeah. Okay, we got time for one more question. Mm. You ever had a crush on an enemy?
Oh.
Ooh. Like a Helga Pataki kind of thing? Yeah, I mean, I used to like, I used to be a really good bully, but...
Oh, so you were the enemy.
Well, I guess I was the enemy. I don't think I've ever had a crush on my own enemy, but I've made my... I've been the enemy that someone... has been crushed on.
Oh,
I was. Well, it's one of their birthdays
bullies
today.
Bullies get crushed on.
I it was very effective for me at the time. Joey Donahue, first trumpet in high school. I used to like write him very. It was weird because I did have a crush on him, but I had like very. I wrote him very mean poetry. It was more like limericks about him, and I would give them to him. And then, and then we became great friends. Happy 27th birthday.
Happy
Joey.
Birthday, aww. Joey. Don't
good for you, Joey.
Happy birthday, we'll go, Joey. We'll go out on that.
I didn't
happy
bully
birthday,
you
Joey.
To death.
Yeah. We'll be back.
We are back. I'm Tess.
I'm Barbara.
I'm Brandy.
And we're with Jamie.
Hi.
And we're going to do some advice giving, because we just talked about you being a bully, so I feel like...
Yeah. You're never right a bully place. In the room.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You need the bully's perspective.
If you have lady problems, send them to ladytolady@maximumfun.org. Hit it, David.
Lady problems. Lady problems, do you have them? Lady problems, do you have them? People have them.
Okay. Dear Barbara, Brandy, and Tess, I work mid-level in an office in a team of almost all women. My boss is a man. His assistant is also supposed to assist my whole team. She is young and went to a very, very good college, but I think she feels too good to be an assistant, so she's a terrible one. She doesn't do the job she's been tasked to do. She doesn't say, I can't do that. She doesn't say, I can't do that. She just doesn't do it. And then we find out we're screwed later on. We ended up doing a lot of her work ourselves, and I often find myself doing things for her that I wouldn't be asked to do for others. Oh, Babs, can you move your cursor?
Oh.
It's just...
I'm not...
It's just your name keeps, like, popping up.
Sorry.
Okay, good. That's okay. she doesn't have respect for the team. She is rude to higher-ups and in meetings, kind of shocking, I raised around the table kinds of ways. Once she told me to chill about something. I would never have done that to someone above me when I was an assistant. I said to her, did you just tell me to chill? I don't chill. And that's why I'm good at my job. Fuck yeah, you did, girl. Yes, you did. But she definitely doesn't chill when it comes to her own work. She lets the ball drop on everything consistently. She only puts effort into projects she feels are at a certain level.
Well, someone feels, to be fair, that sounds like she does chill, but anyway.
Someone in my company told me they were very stressed out. She was working on an important project because they didn't think she could handle it correctly. That's alarming, right? She's even taken credit for my work in big meetings, though that doesn't bother me at all that much because I have my own enough confidence to believe people know the good work is being done by me. I'm one of two people who report to my boss, so I'm one of the only people who can tell him about these problems. The other girls on my team have begged me to speak up. The more I'm thinking about it, The more I am thinking of this, it's like I have no idea why she is still here. Part of me thinks I owe it to my team or to myself to tell my boss, but I don't want to tear a girl down. I don't want to seem bitchy. I have been treated poorly by women who work above me in the past, and I don't want to be one of those women. I want to help young women, but maybe it would help this girl if I sat down and talked to her. I'm terrified to do anything because, you know, the girl thing is to avoid conflict and be like, actually, everything is fine. Don't worry. I'll just keep doing her job, etc. And once I say something to her or my boss, I can't take it back. It will be out there. I might look like a troublemaker, a whiner. I don't want the bad fucking karma. I know you aren't in and you all aren't in an office every day, but could you still, I would still like some advice from three good-hearted, trustworthy, smart women and whoever your guest is.
And a bully.
Yeah, and a bully.
So from a bully's perspective.
Yeah.
Well,
the bully would put her in a locker. Right.
Swirly.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, and that does build character.
Yes.
Though she'll probably start like building sets after school and like really starting to like, you know, find herself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, this is a tough position to be in because you don't want to feel like a tattletale. I mean, it sucks that the boss doesn't see it.
It's your work.
Of course the boss doesn't see it. That's how these people operate. They're very people who are good at throwing people under the bus. I mean, and I think it sounds like it is obvious that you're doing your work, but I would be careful.
Yeah.
Someone's throwing you under the bus, stand up for yourself and don't assume that everyone's seeing it because
Absolutely. Because those people get ahead. Like she's playing her fucking games. You know, she's like probably like being nice to the bosses and the higher ups, and then she gets to like say that she's doing all this stuff and they don't know any
better. And you guys are the only ones who know she's not doing anything.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean,
I would talk to the should she talk to the boss or her? She talk to the boss.
I guess it depends on your relationship. It sounds like she already did kind of try talking to her. If you guys had a bit of a better relationship, I would say maybe go out to coffee with her and
if she already told me to chill, I would be like, well, you've already burned that bridge.
And I don't think you need to think of this as a gender issue. I mean, just because we all support women and we all want to help other women doesn't mean that you need to support every single... I mean, if someone's shitty at work, someone's shitty at work. It would be sexist to excuse her from behavior because she's a woman.
Absolutely.
And I think that it, like, sort of speaks to, like, the fact that she's like, whatever, this girl's, like, very young and went to a good school. And it's like, if she thinks that that's enough, then she'll be fucked over later on anyway. Mm-hmm. So might as well fuck her over now so she learns the lesson and gets better.
Yeah, absolutely. And then by doing that, and I think being truthful and standing up for yourself, ideally maybe she can go, and then you can help a woman by getting a qualified woman in this job.
Yeah.
Someone who is going to do the job and work for you guys and be there, because then you're not going to be doing extra work that isn't in your job description.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, hopefully, somebody that appreciates
it. Hopefully this person will go on to be like, oh, I can't just not do anything. I have to do the job.
Yeah. Some people learn lessons hard ways, and you know, and you will help her teach a lesson because she needs to feel consequences. Right now she's feeling no consequences for the way that she's acting. So she's not learning how to work hard. She's learning that she can just get away with this the way it is. And that's just not going
to
fly.
Yeah. I think first of all, you're not doing any more of her work.
No.
That's it.
No.
Right. You're done with that.
No.
You say no. You say, nope, that's not my job. Good luck. And then I would talk to the boss with one other person, at least, so it's not just
you. Just you.
That's fair.
Yeah, like, it not just doesn't seem like you're just complaining or whatever the fuck, you know?
Yeah.
Because it sounds like a bunch of people know what's going on, so.
Yeah. Right. And it's your boss's job to deal with this, you know?
And even if your boss doesn't deal with it, if you've at least brought it up, then they will see where she's dropping the ball.
Yeah, and more often than not, I feel like when you bring something like that to a boss, they already kind of know or, like, have a suspicion that that might be the case, and sometimes you're just, like, confirming something that sort of seems like it's happening.
And honestly, it's no skin off your boss's ass, because in his head, the work is still getting done.
Yeah.
Honestly, from his perspective, he probably wants to look out for you, but as long as everything's moving along fine, he's not going to do anything about it.
Yeah. Ignorance really is bliss. Like, I definitely know that there's been moments for me when people told me about something, about somebody, that I'm like, what? And then I looked and I was like, oh my God, you're right. I just never thought to look at that before.
Never seen
that,
right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Don't feel bad. People that don't pull their weight, fuck them.
Yeah. And seriously. She'll probably end up, if she does lose this job, she'll blame it on everyone but herself and then probably get a job as a, I don't even know what's a job that shitty people do, but
she probably just keep honestly, she'll probably just keep getting assistant jobs and ping-ponging around until somebody takes it. And you know, you can't be responsible for her learning. You cannot work harder for somebody than they're willing to work for themselves. And that includes work, and that includes their growth as a human being. And you know, she needs to learn to feel consequences. She's young. And there's also this weird stereotype that, like, young people, like, don't know how to work hard. Like, I talked to my dad, like, all of his old friends are like, bro, but I'm like, no, all of my friends work their asses off all the time. We have since the moment we were kids, like, help open up the position for somebody that's actually going to appreciate it and will actually use it to grow. You know, if she went to a very good school, she'll get another job. I'm not concerned about that.
Right.
Yeah. But she's going to learn to work hard. Good. A lot of people have gone to college.
But I mean, honestly, fuck her.
Yeah.
But you're, for your own sake and your own respect for yourself and your own ability to do your job well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would respect your own boundaries.
Yeah.
And don't do work for other people. Don't ever let someone else throw you under the bus. I hate that shit.
Mm-mm.
Agree.
That is such a dirty trick.
Yeah.
Yeah. And because those people, they're more calculated than you think. Like, it's hard.
That's part of their plan.
It's part of their plan. And it's hard because it's like, if you're a good person that works hard and is honest and doesn't do that, it's hard to put yourself in a position to realize that somebody could consciously be doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But those people exist. And they will use you to get ahead. You know, they absolutely will, you know.
And if it doesn't work with you, it'll work with someone else at some point. So just don't let it be you.
Yeah, just don't let it be you.
Yeah.
This is the kind of shit that, like, it's not the same thing as asking for a raise, but I know that, like, the last time I had to do that, I was so scared. I put it off for so long. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as I did, I was like, why the fuck didn't I do this a year ago? You know, it's one of those things, the more you let it go on, the more you're going to go crazy, and you better do it sooner than
later. For sure. Mm-hmm. What I would like you to do, make a list of all of the things that she has fucked up and not done. Like, that way, like, you
can,
that way you're not also just, like, because I feel like, I have this tendency too to be like, no, I'll take care of it. I'll take care of it. I'll do this. And it's like, but no, if you write it out in black and white and you're like, these are all of the things that are wrong. Mm-hmm. And then you can't deny that list. You know what I mean?
And I don't know like what, you know, the situation is at your work, but maybe there is something to like CCing everyone on your team and like, okay, just so we're clear, this is the workflow.
Yeah.
So you have it like written out like this is
they're in charge of this. They're doing this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's been delineated. There's no question about it.
Yeah.
The shit that's her job and the shit that's yours.
Mm-hmm.
And then that gets your boss like realizing too that he needs to look out.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I think that's the thing. And I know it's a hard conversation to start, but once you start it, it gets easier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just like ripping a Band-Aid off, but it's worth it. Like our time is precious. Do not give it to people that don't give a fuck. Yeah, don't give a minute to somebody that's such a piece of shit if you can avoid it.
God, it's so funny because these are just like, I know the anxiety that goes along with those kind of conversations.
Oh, for sure.
So hard.
Yeah.
Right, because it does, like, no matter how not personal it is, it always feels extremely personal.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Especially on like in a small work environment like that too, where it sounds like it's a small team.
Yeah.
It's just awkward. Yeah.
It is really weird that you're like, especially in office, you're just thrust together with like randos who are going to fucking dictate how you feel every day of your life.
Yeah.
It's so fucking insane.
And you see them more than your family. And
your
friends. It's like roommates with sheet cake.
Mm-hmm. And so many birthdays.
I had a boss once. I used to work at the Massachusetts comptroller's office, and I was his assistant, but I don't think I was the first assistant he'd ever had.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't know how to have an assistant.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think he just kept doing his work, all of it, and then would be like, what music do you listen to? Like, he was like a dad. He was like doing, so he would sort of just ask me to make him mixtapes. And then at the end of the summer I worked for him, like maybe we were dating. at the end of the summer I worked for him, he brought me to a Belle and Sebastian concert.
Oh, you were totally dating.
Because I had put one Belle and Sebastian song. I was like 19.
God.
I put it on, and he was like, I saw that they were coming to the did. It was like a very dad about it. And we went to Belle and Sebastian together. Very romantic.
Like, what you're saying is you drove there together and then he stood away from you.
And then he stood you back. Well, I tried to talk to popular girls in the front row at Belle and Sebastian.
Can I just say, I don't know what a comptroller does. Will someone tell me?
I am not 100%. I worked there every summer I was in college. But they, in theory, they are supposed to regulate government spending. They're supposed to, like, make sure that the government is dispersing and spending money correctly. It's very boring.
Okay.
Yeah. A management-level position responsible for supervising the quality of accounting and finance reporting of an organization.
It's just such a weird.
I don't even know what it is.
It's such a weird title.
Is it like? Are you a controller or are you a computer? We don't know.
You're both. Yeah.
Are you a troll?
Yeah.
For us, it was a guy named Marty.
Marty.
I think they're all named Marty.
I had a work dad fake boyfriend too who would like pay me to come to his office, and sometimes he would let me go take his nice car. He would like, my car needs an oil change, so I would drive this like Audi through LA.
was great.
It's honestly kind of a good deal. Like it felt, I felt a little bit like an office sugar baby.
I liked it though.
But
Yeah. Because he would open this file folder and he had pills in there, and he would like give me Xanax, and I would open his mail.
Oh my god. That's
I do a little bit miss the days of those kind of random jobs.
Yeah. I ran into him years later at a Killer Mike concert.
Oh, man.
So he like, and he was like, yeah, my wife just had twins.
Oh, shit.
I was like, hell yeah, go Scott.
That's awesome. Is he still a controller?
He still works at the controller's office. Yeah, he's thriving, baby.
Good. Good for him.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Signed, sealed, delivered from the comptroller's office. My aunt was the tax commissioner of Cincinnati for many years.
Tax commissioner.
Sounds official.
Yeah.
Sounds like there's a hat.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's definitely a bat.
She calls herself the commish.
Yeah.
She's a fun. She's a fun.
It's incredible how many things. How many things. I'm like, what do you do? What do people do when they go into a place?
A notary public.
Yeah. That, I thought that notary public was a store for a really long time. Like Banana Republic. But, The only cool thing about the comptroller's office was that I worked there during the summer, which is when fiscal new year is. So it was my job to plan the fiscal new year party. Woo!
You had the most fun comptroller job.
Did you have
ever.
A ball? Was there like a ball drop and stuff?
There was. I mean, I like would get like they would give me like $100 and then they'd be like, okay, because I couldn't buy beer, so they'd have to buy beer.
But and you
I would
guys go out all butt chugged.
We would
the
all
fiscal reports.
Me and Marty would be chugging. But I would like set up the Pandora playlist. I'd get the decorations, and then like Friday at 4 p.m. I'd be like, guys, happy fiscal new year. And they'd be like, oh, it's our little office teenager throwing us a party.
That's so cool.
It was so much fun.
That sounds like a blast.
It was highly recommend a fiscal new year.
When is it? The fiscal
it's new July year? 1st.
Oh, it just passed.
God summer. Damn it. I didn't do anything for it.
I didn't get anything for my
money.
Damn.
We didn't celebrate this year. God. It's okay. There's always another fiscal year coming up.
Okay.
Happy fiscal new year.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. See, you can get a cool teen in your office.
Yeah. Yeah. And then just give them $100 to send them to iParty. They're good to go, man.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, replace this girl with a cool teen.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, that's our show. So people can find you on Hamburger Phone on Twitter and the Bechdel cast. Is there anything else you want to
real quick, what's... The Bechdel cast. Talk about it a little bit.
Oh, yes. So that is a weekly podcast I do with my friend and comedian, Caitlin Durante.
Cool.
Where we bring comedians onto the show to talk about their favorite movie, and then we talk about how that movie treats its female characters.
Nice.
Sometimes it's a barn burner.
Yeah.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. For sure.
What's your least, what's the movie that's passed the Bechdel test the least that you've seen?
I would say it's a tie between Transformers and Geely.
Oh, God.
Geely, that surprises me a
Geely,
little.
You know, it does come close in that at least women are allowed in the same scene, which does not happen in Transformers.
Is that right?
But Ben Affleck is always supervising the scene in Geely, so it never gets a pass.
Wow.
Yeah.
Damn.
But what a fun movie.
But what else are we going to talk about besides Ben Affleck's butt chin?
I would
chug that chin in a heartbeat.
Yeah, stick a baster in that chin. Let's go to town.
Get the milk. Let's
Wouldn't
call it
he,
a
day. If he had a butt chin, he'd be the one butt-chinning you.
He's the butt.
Is okay, he butt-chugging when he just drinks?
I mean,
yeah, I guess so. Yes. Well, then he can butt chug me, my pussy.
Okay.
Perfect. That's what I wanted.
We found it.
That's where I wanted to get. Thank you. I appreciate it. So yeah, check out the Bechdel cast. Awesome podcast. And Jamie is great. And thanks for doing the show.
Thank you for having me. It's so much fun.
Hell yeah.
Have a good day, y'all.
Bye, guys.
Can't get enough of us? Subscribe to our Patreon for exclusive bonus content, access to our first 100 episodes, and more. Go to patreon.com/ladytolady now to sign up. As little as a dollar a month keeps a roof over the glam cave and keeps you laughing, even when your coworkers stare. That's patreon.com/ladytolady.
And don't forget to follow us on social media. We're on Twitter and Instagram @ladytoladycomedy.
Join our Facebook group, Lady to Lady Podcast, to chat with other fans about episodes or even post your own lady problems. Check out our website, ladytoladycomedy.com, for show notes, videos, and merch.
And duh, follow our individual accounts, Babs Gray, Brandazzle, and Testify Barker, for jokes and info and where you can see us perform live. And if you want to send us snacks, stickers, or a lock of your own hair, I don't know, whatever, our P.O. Box is 412-794, Los Angeles, California, 90041. And please, leave us a review on iTunes, but only if you like us.
We love you.
We love you.
Bye.
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 Bye. Bye.